I can't help it, but whenever I think of Wednesday night worship, I think of that commercial where the camel's going through the workplace. What day is it? I don't know. That was better than the little joke I was going to tell at the beginning, so we're good. We're going to talk tonight about baptism. And if you were here Sunday, I kind of preached about this Sunday, but I want to talk about it. I don't know if it'll be in any more depth, but there is so much controversy around baptism. And if you go to 10 churches, you're liable to get 10 understandings of baptism. And probably every church says what I'm about to say is that we really try here to have a biblical view of baptism. And so I want to explain a little bit, because if you've come here for any amount of time, you hear us talk about baptism a lot. And so I want to talk about that, but, you know, because I get a lot of questions about baptism. Sunday, I had several people that felt like I was wrong in what I was teaching about baptism. So I'm going to teach it again. But really, honestly, feel free to email me or give me a call here at the church if you wanted to talk a little bit more about baptism and kind of where we come from. I mean, my goal tonight is that you'll have no doubts and no questions. It's going to be so crystal clear. That's what I have planned. But if you have questions, you know, I think a few people were offended Sunday over what I shared about infant baptism. And I'll share it tonight. And it's certainly not with any intent to offend. This is the assumption I make tonight. The assumption I make is that all of us want to live our lives the way God wants us to. And that it's not a mystery or a riddle how God wants us to live our lives. He has given us His Word. And it's out of His Word that we understand how what His expectations are, how we live life, how we are the church, and why the church practices the things the way that it does. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. And there's so many places I could go, but I just want to read this story in Acts chapter 8. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a great story. Let me just begin. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I like this story because there are so many elements to it, you know, because basically, ultimately, your baptism is about obedience, okay? So that's the first controversial thing I'm going to tell you tonight. Baptism is about obedience because it's not about being saved, okay? And here's what I mean by that. It is not a requirement for salvation that you be baptized, okay? It's not part of the requirement. Somebody might even be thinking tonight, but what about in Acts when Peter was preaching and he said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin"? I mean, that does, I admit that upon reading that, it sounds like there's two things you've got to do for the forgiveness of your sins: repent and be baptized. The problem is, the Bible tells us to consider the whole counsel of God. You know what that means, to consider the whole counsel of God? That means you can't have your one verse loaded in your pocket and that verse trumps everything. You have to consider the whole counsel of God. So yes, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But in Matthew, in several places in scriptures, it just says repent. It doesn't say repent and be baptized. And so that gives us a predicament. And J.I. Packer introduced me to a term called antinomies. Antinomies are those verses that seem like they contradict each other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Now, you've read those scriptures. Like, yeah, but it says this, and then it says this. What do you do in that situation? Well, here's what you do. You trust the heart of God. The verses seem like they contradict each other, but we know that God doesn't contradict himself, right? So to us, it seems like a contradiction. It seems like with these baptism verses, you have to pick one or the other, but that's not the case. They are both true. And so how do you decide what it is? Well, if the Bible in one place says repent and be baptized for forgiveness of your sin, and in another place it just says repent, it only leaves you with one option if both verses are true, that it's repent. But the Bible definitely, y'all are so quiet. I can't tell if you're totally offended or if you're in awe of the brilliance of this teaching. I can't tell. I'm going with the latter. So it seems like they contradict each other. We know that they don't. And so when you take all these baptismal verses, what we kind of understand is baptism is important, right? But it's not necessary for salvation, because if it was necessary for salvation, every one of those scriptures would say, repent and be baptized. But they don't. But what is repeated in all those? Repent. So that is the necessary element. Baptism itself is not part of salvation. Now, listen, if you have some friends that are from different denominations, they will argue about this all day long. My wife has some friends that go to a different church, and that came up, and my wife just kept looking at me like, just don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know, because here's my thing. If baptism is required for salvation, then that means God doesn't save you. There's something you have to do to get saved, which makes salvation works-based. Everybody with me? But you see, the Bible teaches that God saves us, that God does the work of salvation. But if baptism is necessary for salvation, then it's a works-based salvation. There's something you have to do to get saved, a physical act that you have to do. Because somebody may say, but you have to repent, and you do that. But you know, here's what I would say about that. If God's working in your heart, you're going to repent. Amen. And therefore, it's the work of God and not our work, right? That when God works on our heart, when God is intending to save us, guess what the result is every time? Amen. You're saved. All right, and that opens up a gigantic can of worms that is not the point of tonight, so I won't go there tonight. But suffice it to say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. In the model of Jesus, and to me, this is a crucial part of the baptismal evidence. Because if baptism is necessary for salvation, then why would Jesus have done it? Did Jesus need to be saved? In the sense that we are. Because really, there's only a certain kind of person that can be saved. Who is it? A sinner. And I think most of us tonight would agree that the Bible teaches us that Jesus was perfect. He was without sin. So if baptism was for the literal washing away of your sin, then why did Jesus do it? Would he have done it just as an example? Hey, watch what I'm doing and you do it. I don't think so. I don't think that's what we see with Jesus. Matter of fact, I think the reason Jesus was baptized is exactly why we should be baptized. Because the Bible says when he was baptized, he came out of the water. A voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You know what we teach children in a kid's baptism class? You get baptized because it pleases the Father, right? It's pleasing. It's his desire that we be obedient to that. And who gets baptized? In the Trinity, Jesus operates in what role? The Son. So who gets baptized? You're just going to keep answering, aren't you? Well, let's be more generic. Who gets baptized? God's children get baptized. What's that tell us about baptism? It's for those who are saved, right? It's for those who are saved, those who are sons and daughters. And we get baptized because it pleases the Father. Baptism is for God's children. It's for those who have been saved. I didn't write any notes down, so I may be a little sporadic, but don't you all love that? That's what I tell myself, that you all love that. some other questions about baptism. Some people, it kind of bothers them that during the welcome on Sunday or on Wednesday night, you may hear us say, we had a great week Tuesday. A couple people got baptized. It was so exciting. And there's always a few people that really bothers. They get baptized on a Tuesday. Why would that bother them? They're going to hell? No. Why would it bother them that we baptize some people on a Tuesday? Come on, you can. What? Yeah, because they say that baptism is your public profession of faith, right? And I know that I have even said that because that's what's been taught all my life. Baptism is your public profession of faith. I do agree with that. But define public. Because obviously their issue is, well, the church is gathered on Sunday morning. That's when people should get baptized. And here's my first question. Is it just the church gathered on Sunday morning? No. There's all kinds of people here, right? And here's my thing. Let me tell you what I believe about the church. If you're here and you're a believer, you're the church. And maybe you go to Eastwood, but you just swung by here one Sunday. Well, to me, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the church, okay? But I'm talking, we have a lot of people that are not saved, and they come. And so people would say, I don't like this Tuesday baptism thing. It needs to happen in front of people. I'm the chaplain for our Boy Scout group, and one of the fathers was talking to me. They go to a different church, and his sons have been saved, and they want to get baptized, but his sons are very shy, just naturally, very introverted, and he said our church won't baptize them unless they walk the aisle to tell the church, right? Because I've been in churches like that where you walk the aisle. Anybody else? And what the guy was told is his sons need to do that because that's their public profession of faith is when they walk that aisle. And I said, that's fine as long as you can show me that in Scripture. We're walking the aisles, your public profession of faith. And he said, well, what do you think the public profession of faith is? I said, baptism. It's baptism. It's not walking that aisle. And most pastors are extroverted, and so they kind of set up an extroverted ministry. And these boys, they're just not like that. And what verse does somebody always quote? If they won't walk that aisle, what do they always quote? Can anybody think of it? Well, if you're ashamed of God, he'll be ashamed of you. Can you imagine being 7 years old and somebody saying, you're going to be ashamed of God? You're going to walk that aisle. And if the kid's really smart and brave, he'll say, it got nothing to do with shame. but we talked about it. And I said, I don't think those kids should have to walk the aisle. But they should if that's where you're going to go to church. If that's where you want to go to church, and that's what you need to do, apparently, or they're not going to get baptized, okay? But first of all, when the Bible talks about if you're ashamed of God before men, God will be ashamed. That's a salvific verse. All right, that's about, you know, when the Spirit's drawing you and you won't come for salvation. I mean, that it's totally out of context to make that about baptism and walking an aisle. It's not what it's about at all. So I believe you can get baptized whenever. That's why I read Acts 8 tonight. I don't know what all Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible doesn't tell us. He just said he told him many good things about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we understand he told him enough that the Ethiopian eunuch realized that he needed to be saved. And that Philip taught him enough that he knew, hey, and at some point you need to be baptized. Because that's a step of obedience. And the baptism, because some people have a problem with Godstock, that we baptize at the lake. How come? Why do you think people would have a problem with it? It's not in a church. And they would make this great case that baptism must take place in a church. And then I always ask them, what about the Ethiopian eunuch? They came across a puddle and he says, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And I always, you know, when I'm kind of arguing with people about baptism, say, that was Philip's perfect opportunity. Say, I'll tell you why you shouldn't, because we're not in a church building. Philip Coote said, I'll tell you why you shouldn't, because it's not Sunday yet. I mean, Philip had the chance. I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch said, why shouldn't I get baptized? And what we understand from Philip's response is, there's no reason why you shouldn't. There's water, and your heart wants to do what God desires for you to do. You should be baptized right now. Everybody with me on that?
Yes.
I mean, I just think that is so crucial. And again, let's look at the example of Jesus. He wasn't at First Baptist Jerusalem when he was baptized. Can we all agree to that? He wasn't in a church building. Some people don't like it that basically if you yourself are a baptized believer, we will let you baptize somebody. Now, they don't like that at all because they say only ordained clergy should baptize. And I was just wondering if Paul was ordained.
I don't think so.
No, I guarantee you he wasn't, because ordination, Tommy, when did ordination come about? The 1800s? Tommy has no idea, but he's like, yes, the 1800s. I don't know either. But it wasn't back then. It was something that happened later as a way to identify clergy, whatever. And I can't find it in the Bible. I'm certain John the Baptist was not a pastor of a local church. I'm certain of that. I'm certain that Philip was not the pastor of a local church. So it wasn't a requirement. Because let me tell you, when the Bible... In every instance where the Bible talks about baptism, the emphasis is never on where the baptism was. The emphasis was never on who did the baptizing. Those things are insignificant. What mattered is who was baptized. That it was a good thing that they did that. And I've heard people say, it's kind of like when you're on a team, you get a jersey. And baptism's kind of like getting that jersey. I hate that analogy. Because if we're going to look at this as a team, you get your jersey when you're saved. Right? Everybody with me on that? And the reason people talk about that is because at a lot of churches, to join the church, you must get baptized in the church. Now, I'll tell you this. To be a member of our church, you need to be baptized. But you don't have to be baptized here by one of us. If you were baptized in another church, that's fine with us. We don't have a problem with that. But there'll be some churches, some of you all may experience this through the years. You may get sick of me and leave and go to another church and you'll want to join and they'll say, well, you need to be baptized. And you'll say, oh, I was at Hillview in the lake at Godstock by my uncle. And they're still going to say, ah! Or whatever. But baptism, everybody listen to me. Baptism nowhere in the Bible is linked to church membership. Obviously, church membership also came along a long time ago. But centuries after Jesus' resurrection. But there are some churches that say, if you're going to be a member of our church, you have to be baptized in our church. Now, you know what I would tell you? And I have no church in mind when I say this, but this is what I would tell you. I wouldn't go to that church. Because that is not what the Bible teaches about baptism. If you're going to have church membership, and I don't think there's anything wrong with having it, we have it here. I think to be a member, you ought to be baptized. At some point after your conversion, and I don't care where it was, who did it, but as long as you took that step of obedience at some point. Because the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Couple other things, they just keep coming to my mind. Because I did talk about infant baptism Sunday, and that's always very, very touchy. Because people, I'll be talking to somebody, and they will have gotten saved, and, right here at the altar, and I'll say, that's so great, that, the next thing I want you to be thinking about is baptism. And say, oh, I was baptized. And I'm like, not in the last 3 minutes you haven't been, Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. And so the careful way that we deal with that here at this church is, I don't have a problem if as a baby you were sprinkled. I have no problem with that. I don't think it's wrong. To me, it's the equivalent of what we do here when we have a baby dedication. But what do we find with the Ethiopian eunuch and with Jesus that are similar? And it's also the case for every other baptism in the Bible, in the New Testament. It was Jesus' decision to be baptized. It was the Ethiopian eunuch's decision to be baptized. Because I want to look at baptism from a biblical vantage point, right? And so if your parents sprinkled you, I think that's wonderful. You know what that reveals? The heart of your parents. But let me tell you something. It doesn't reveal your heart at all. Because that was not a decision you had any choice about, or anything like it. And the reason I'm saying this is people routinely who are new said, I'd like my child to be baptized. I said, well, that's wonderful. How old's your child? 4 months old. And I always say, yeah. And I just say, we don't do that here. We have a baby dedication. We'd love to do that. But New Testament baptism is a decision that the individual makes. Notice Mary and Joseph didn't have Jesus baptized. And Jesus, when he got to John the Baptist, didn't say, oh, my mom and dad, they already did this for me. Because they can't, right? And obviously, the reason most churches that practice infant baptism, the reason that most churches practice it is because they believe that the water literally washes away sin. And if I believe that, we'd have every baby that's born. We'd get them from the hospital and get them here, right? Or we baptize them at the hospital. But we don't believe that that's what happens at baptism. And so we don't baptize infants. And so, there's no doubt somebody's here tonight. And that's kind of the baptism you've been counting on. Well, first, here's the good news. Baptism doesn't save you. So you're all right. You're going to heaven. But biblical baptism happens after your conversion. Because who is baptism for? I've already said it. God's children, right? We can just keep opening worms here because somebody can be like, aren't babies God's children? Those who have been saved, right? Those who have repented of their sin. That's who baptism is for. And so I have a lot of people ask me, hey, I was sprinkled as a baby. Do you think I need to be baptized again? And I always say no. Because you can only get baptized once. You've never been baptized. Do I think it means you're a horrible Christian or anything like that? Of course not, right? And I never tell somebody who doesn't feel compelled. They're like, I'm satisfied with that baptism I had when I was a baby. I don't sit there and argue with them. You know what I tell them to do? Well, just pray about it. If you feel good about it, Now listen, because some of this could offend somebody, but if you feel good about it, that's fine. Just pray about it. Because I believe if you really pray about it and seek the Lord on it, I believe you'll want to do it the way that the Bible says to do it. And I don't have to convince you of that. I trust God with that, right? I mean, I know people have been in this church for 10 years and they've never been baptized in a New Testament way. They're still feel like that infant baptism. I don't feel like I got to chase those people down. That I want the Lord to do the work in their hearts. But I do believe part of that work comes through teaching. And as much as we talk about baptism, we don't teach on it a whole lot. But when we get close to God's stock, we always like to teach about baptism, because obviously we're going to be baptizing Sunday morning at the lake. And we always hope that it might be a wonderful time for somebody to say, you know what? I haven't been obedient in this area. And what are you when you're not obedient? You're disobedient, right? And every year somebody will come forward and say, you know what? I know I was saved years ago, but I've never been baptized like what the Bible teaches. And I need to do that. So, I mean, inevitably. And sometimes that comes with a little bit of embarrassment. Because I've had people tell me, will you tell people I've been saved for a long time? I don't want them to think I just got saved. And will you just let them know? You know, and, hey, if they want us to do that, we do that. But it's about being obedient. And one of the powerful things about baptism, and Miss Linda's sitting here on the front row, and she's the loudmouth you guys hear every week, which, by the way, some people were mad at me Sunday because of you. And I think, no, her, but Robert, you're so sweet. No, because of Linda, because I said several things to Linda like I do every Wednesday night, but they're not used to it on Sunday. And somebody just kind of gave me a talking to. I don't think you ought to be talking to people like that. And I just said, you haven't met her. But, so I'll please, no. You just crossed the line. But what Linda and Robert, both of them are very involved in the baptism ministry. And we could spend the rest of the service telling you just powerful stories about baptism. But in talking to people about baptism, people have this idea about baptism that they need to get their life all together before they get baptized. Because I'll ask people, you know, hey, have you been baptized? And they'll say, no, I'm trying to work out a couple things first. And I always say, then you're never going to get baptized. I am still working some stuff out. Anybody else? Yeah, welcome to the planet, right? I mean, this is going to be our journey of discipleship on the earth, working things out. And with that philosophy, what I try to encourage people with is generally the opposite is true. If you'll be obedient and get baptized, you're going to find you're going to start working some things out that you've never been able to, right? And it's just because of that obedience, because God blesses it every time. Who is worthy to be baptized? Those that God has saved, period. Because I've had people tell me, you know, I've asked a few people, well, you know, what kind of things are going on in your life? And they're like, I can't believe I'm about to tell you this. And they just tell you things, and you just have to get that look on your face. That's not a look of shock. You're like, oh, holy cow. Woo! Or whatever you do, right? And because it's really not about that. And here's the thing. I see a lot of you kind of shaking your heads like you agree with me. But I think we struggle with that if we're honest. Hey, man, this person came from the jail to the baptistry. Shouldn't there be a little time in between there? Not if they're saved. Not if they're saved. God's going to do that work. That's who our trust is in, right? And I always tell people, be obedient where you can be obedient, right? Because I have sympathy for somebody with an addiction who says, I keep trying to stop and I can't stop. I have some sympathy for that, right? I mean, because I have drug addicts tell me in my office, you don't understand addiction, Pastor Jamie. It's horrible. I'm like, really? I don't understand addiction? What if your addiction's illegal? They can't come to Ryan's and pull me away from the sneeze guard, right? They just let me go. I drive home in that coma every day after lunch, right? Just glazed over. If I got pulled over, I'd never pass a sobriety test. One is because I'm still kind of weebling and wobbling, right? And so I have some mercy there. Like, I understand. I mean, there's things I'm working on in my life. And, man, I mean, I just get this. Okay, I am not struggling with this anymore. And then I go visit little Debbie again, right? But that baptism is not dependent upon your life being perfect. And I have a lot of respect for people whose lives are a mess who are willing to get in those baptismal waters. Because you know what they're saying? Whatever mess my life is, God is bigger than that mess. Amen. And so I'm going to be obedient to that because I can be obedient to that. What I kind of wanted to do, and I've just kind of wrestled with it all day, was to open up. Does anybody have a question about baptism? And honestly, it scares me to death to do that because I'm not a guy that I have all the answers. And I would just hate that somebody asked me a question and I say, wow, that is so awesome. I don't know. I didn't ask you what you thought. But is just really, real quick, and Keith, if you want to come, Keith's not even here. Oh, yeah, there he is. If you want to come, because we will have a time of altar, because some of you just need to be obedient tonight. But as Keith's coming, is there a question about baptism? Yeah, the great question. He said sprinkled or dunked. And I wish I could just so quickly just say it. I always go with Jesus' example. The word baptizo in the Greek means to immerse. And I believe if you can be immersed, that's what you need to do. But I have to confess, we've baptized a lot of people on that stage in wheelchairs. Okay? Because they could not get in the water. Now, I believe you should be immersed if you can be. But do you think God was honored in pouring water over those people in a wheelchair? Absolutely. I remember one of my all-time favorite baptisms. It was at a different church, and it was a special needs guy, and he was just the greatest guy. And he believed that he had been saved. I believe that he knew Jesus way better than I would ever know Jesus, right? And he wanted to be baptized. And so we get to that moment, the spotlight comes on the baptistry. I'm there, and I welcome him down, and he just starts crying. And he can't get in the water. Now, this happened at a very traditional church. It may have been my last Sunday. I can't remember, right? And I said, come on, buddy, you can do it. Come on. And he would try. And finally, he just sat on the ground and cried his eyes out because he wanted to be baptized so bad. And I didn't know what to do. And I just said, do you really want to be baptized? And he looked at me. And of course, nobody can see him. And he's going like that, and I said, well then, Bob, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him in Christ. And I just start splashing water, and it's the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life as he just sat there with water pouring down him. And I'm going to tell you something, I don't care what anybody says, oh, I think God was honored in that. I think I do. I think the Father was pleased. So we have the example of Jesus, the Ethiopian eunuch, we assume immersion. And if you can be immersed, I think that's what you should be. And if you had a physical problem that would keep you from being immersed, I don't have any problem doing it another way. Because I think ultimately it's the intent of the heart. I want God to be pleased in this obedience. So great question. One more question before we close? Yes. Oh, not you. You are so much smarter than me. I already anticipate a question that I cannot answer. Go ahead. Oh, accountability. Okay, great. She said, what about a church that kind of teaches about the age of accountability and takes you through a class, and then you're baptized? Is the question more about the age of accountability or about going through a class before you're baptized? Oh, gotcha. Okay, great question. What happens to somebody? They get baptized when they're a kid. Not necessarily an infant, but, you know, at 7 or 8 years old, they believe they have a salvation experience. They get baptized, and then later in life, realize they've never been saved. Great question. And that's my story. You know, I don't have time to tell it tonight, but I was at Vacation Bible School. The guy held up a dollar. He said, "Who wants to get saved?" And he wouldn't let me hold the dollar until I prayed to receive Christ. I did that. I went back home to my church. They don't know what to do with me because I was raised in church, so I could answer all your questions, right? And I get baptized. But at 16, I realized I do not have a relationship with Jesus. I had never been saved. And what I say, I kind of stick with, there's only one baptism, and it happens after you're saved. So I tell everybody when I was 7, I got wet, but when at 16, I got baptized. And let me tell you something, parents, real quick. Because I talk to a lot of parents, and a parent's most common worry about their child is, I just don't know if they really understand. And I always tell parents, well, keep talking about it, because the one thing I want a child to understand is they're not getting baptized so they can go to heaven. I want them to understand that's not why they're getting baptized. And I'm totally cool if they can just understand I'm getting baptized because Jesus did. And I'm trying to be like Jesus. And I've had parents who, you know, have had the experience that I had. I said, if the worst thing that happens to your child is they feel like they're saved and they get baptized, and then 5, 6 years later, they feel like, I don't think I was ever saved. If that's the worst thing that happens, you're good. But if you tell that child they're too young, that they don't understand, and that child never brings it up again, that's hard. And to keep that in an open book. So, yeah, I think that happens, you know, quite a bit. I mean, we try here to really teach the kids about baptism, but, you know, we've had kids that grew up here, got baptized at a younger age, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, and then as a teenager said, I don't think I was ever saved. And I'm not going to question that. And I'm not going to tell that child, no, you were saved. Now go to your room. you know what I mean? I just want to trust God with that. And when that child's asking those questions, I want to keep that an open book and keep talking about it. Thank you for not embarrassing me with a question that I could not answer. So tonight we're going to have a time of altar. And there's going to be people just come and pray tonight. I hope many of you will come and pray for God's Talk this weekend. It is a great opportunity. There's a lot of lost people that come to God's Talk who won't go in a church, but they'll come to Barren River Lake. And I hope you'll come and pray that God would save them this weekend. But I also pray that some of you just, you need to take that step of obedience. And for whatever reason you're not, I hope that I've dispelled for you tonight that there's no reason not to. If you know you've been saved, then you need to be baptized because it's pleasing to the Father. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for who you are, what you do for us, how good you are to us. And Lord, even when we find ourselves in disobedience, you still love us. I pray for those tonight who need to be obedient in this area that we're talking about of baptism. And I pray you give them the courage to step out tonight, the courage to come and say, I know that I need to be baptized. So, Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. I'm not going to keep the altar long if you all just give me a few minutes, but I want to ask that all of us would be obedient. This altar is open. You come.